So there's a couple of other things that I just wanted to quickly point out. When we come back here to the publish, there's a couple of options here. One of them is FTP, and one of them is web deploy. So you can publish to pretty much any host with FTP. And you know, that is, you know, well-known, well-established kind of a protocol. Web deploy is another very cool technology that I don't know if a lot of you have played with or taken a look at. But with SQL Server 2008 R2, web deploy, it allows you to, from your client, open up a single open socket opening to the server and push everything at one time. Rather than having to do with FTP, you're pushing each file one at a time and opening connection after connection after connection. The second thing that that web deploy is going to allow you to do is it'll do a diff between your, what's on your client and what's on your server and allow you to pull back whatever is on your server into your local and sync that, or you can push just the files that have changed from your local to your remote. So I think those are all very cool. But I'm definitely very excited to, you know, have had Ryan up here talking about PHP and how well that's going on the Windows platform. There's a lot more that I'd love to talk about in that arena. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch gears for a little bit and talk about some of the new alternatives or some new alternatives to web development on the web platform. So let me close out of some of these. Get back to here. All right. So WebMatrix. You can go download that today, right now, from Microsoft.com/web. But again, that is one of many flavors of web development here at Microsoft. So what I want to talk about a little more is ASP.NET MVC 3, okay? Some of the great things that have come out with it, such as great and very easy to do dependency injection, lots of great new jQuery support, very unobtrusive syntax validation. There's a whole bunch of new and interesting things that have come out with that. And then also we can use IIS Express and SQL Server Compact Edition, the ones that you saw in the first demo. We're able to use those within Visual Studio right now, and those they actually come as part of the package with SP1. And so we're going to do a demo here in a minute showing the great power of those. There's a lot more stuff that we've been doing, especially in the realm of some of our open source contributions, which I'm personally very passionate about. One of those is with jQuery. So jQuery, the most popular client-side scripting library in the world, jQuery, we announced last March, I think it was, that we were going to start contributing to jQuery, and we've done that quite heavily in the past year or so. Recently, we submitted a full data validation set of libraries. We set globalization and localization set of libraries and a new data templating engine. And all that is going to be accepted in, packages have been accepted in as official packages, and the data templating is going to be accepted into the next version of jQuery as one of the default engines that we're going to have there. NuGet. NuGet is pretty awesome and pretty cool. Anybody a Ruby developer in the room? I know we've got at least one. Okay. Well, so Jim. This is Jim for .NET. We're able to very quickly and easily pull down many, many of the open source packages that are out there in the world written for .NET with NuGet. So that's going to allow us to manage, update, install, find packages, and we've been working with the Outer Curve Foundation to make this happen. Okay, so in the past, since August, we've had over 300 packages submitted to NuGet. And so we're going to be able to install those, and we'll see those very quickly and very simply right from within Visual Studio when I do the ASP.NET MVC 3 demo coming up here in just a minute. And, of course, ASP.NET MVC 3, as with its predecessors, is also open source, and you can go download and customize that all that you want to. So let's step into a little bit of a demo here. Bring up Visual Studio 2010. And I'm going to click File, New, Project. And I've got a number of different choices here, but the one we're going to go with is the ASP.NET MVC Web, MVC 3 web application. Dublin MVC 3. Click OK. And we can create an empty project, or we can create one that's already got a little bit of a template with it. And we can choose between a couple of different view engines. The view engines in the model view controller architecture are completely pluggable. So you can choose between a number of different view engines, including some ones that are not provided by Microsoft. These are the two that we've written, the ASPX one, the standard one that you're used to with MVC2, and Razor. And so this will be our view engine allowing us to leverage that same syntax that we saw in that first demo here in this one. There's several other view engines that we could also use. We can go ahead and right here create a unit test project. This is kind of the good, evil, good button right here. So we're going to be evil for the moment and not use a unit test project. I highly, strongly recommend that you do in your production applications. We click OK, and we get our little project here. I'm going to go ahead and build that, and let's see what we have. It's a very, very sexy, exciting application at this point in time. Yes? No. Anybody thinks this is exciting? We're in the wrong room, right? All right, so we have our little MVC project, and it is using our IaaS Express, okay? But let me come back to here, and we'll take a look at the view engine, or views a little bit. Notice that we've got a CSHTML extension here, okay? And if I go to all of them are the same CSHTML. If I go into here, you can see the same Razor syntax that you saw in that first demo is right here as the view engine. The really exciting part about this is that this is a great use of Razor because it allows us to mix HTML and our code where it belongs, in the view, okay? But our business logic is actually still in our controller with our model being our data access. So we've got that great separation of concerns and that strong architectural principles with that great ease of use of the Razor syntax. So let's play with this a little bit. Go. First thing I want to do is I'm going to right-click and we're going to on references and add library package reference. And we'll pray that the internet is kinder to me because we're going to go online again. And it's retrieving from NuGet official package source. Let me expand that a little bit. And you can see a lot of different packages that are in here. And there's some all the way from like mail to security stuff. You know, we can scroll through here and take a, you know, really drain all these. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to look for Ninject. And Ninject is a great dependency injection framework that is actually leveraging in the new MVC version a lot of the new stuff in MVC for great DI, for great dependency injection. So I click install. And what it's actually doing, if I, right here, it's adding references. Okay, because you can see the Ninject and Ninject.mvc3 references back here in the project. Well, we can also go take a look at other things like a great mocking library. Okay, so I'll go ahead and install that. And now we're in really good shape to go ahead and get started with the rest of our project. But there's a couple other things that I'd like to do first. What we're going to do is we're going to add a project, or add a class. And our class here, we're going to call this product. So here's my product, and if I cheated and I used a snippet. So we've got a snippet here that is going to give us an ID, a name, and a price on our product. And we also have a category. So let me generate that real quick. And so right here within Visual Studio, we've got some great refactoring tools, and that'll allow us to quickly generate this class here that we're also going to call category. And I've got another little snippet for that. And if I compile real quick, here it says inconsistent property type, or inconsistent accessibility. So let me go back to my category, and I'm going to change that to be public. And rebuild. So now we're able to build very quickly and very simply. We've added some items here. Actually, I didn't want to add them there. I wanted to add them under, start that back over. Let's go back to the point where I said that I arrived yesterday, and this is a great adventure in jet lag. I added those under the view here rather than adding them under the model. So the model is actually where I wanted to add those. So let's go back through that real quickly. Product. And oops, generate our category. Category. So now we have our places in the right, or bits are right in the right place, public. And we also have our cap locks on. Public, build. There we are. Okay, so now we've got our category and our product. And we've got these little classes, and that's fantastic. But what I want to do is actually use these in the rest of my application, because these are in the model, but they're not in the not in the view, not in the controller. You know, we don't have any logic around them, really. So what I want to do is, let me go to this little tab down here called the Package Manager Console. What this is actually a console that I've got a lot of power from. It's a PowerShell console built right into Visual Studio. So let me do install package, and we're going to say MVC tab to complete the IntelliSense. So what it's actually doing is that install package is actually leveraging NuGet from within PowerShell, and so it's actually hitting the NuGet package manager and pulling back a list of packages that match. And my internet connection went dodgy again for a second, so give it a minute. Oops. There we are. MVC scaffolding. Say hello for us. It's okay. All right. Then I hit enter. And that's going to go pull that down. I don't know if you saw up here, it added a couple of references. Okay, so there is the system.web.mvc. But the scaffolding is also modifying PowerShell for me here within Visual Studio to give me access to a couple of other new scripts. Okay, so one of these scripts is if I do a scaffold controller, and I'm going to say product. So that's still working for a minute, and there we are. So it added a controller, it added a database context, it added products to the Dublin MVC3 context, it created a view for us at create.cshtml, it created an edit view, a delete view, and a details view, and an index page. That's a fair amount of code for us, and it went ahead and dumped all that information into the database for us. So if I run now, and go to products. Now I've got a scaffolded page ready to go. I can create a new product, and I can say this is my bread, and we'll say this is $5 or 5 euro. Create a new one, and we'll say this is pudding, and I like pudding a lot, so we're going to call that for 10. We can create one more, and we'll say that this is, I don't know, what's something else? Brownie. And we're going to say that this is 10. Notice what I did there? I typed it out instead of the numbers. I click create, and it says the 10 is not a valid value for the price. Okay, so I need to make that a numeric value, and now all of a sudden we have our value here. And that's fantastic. But what that's doing is it's showing that we've got some validation. What I want to do is I want to go leverage my new jQuery stuff. And so what we're going to do is go into my products. And here is my great products folder here in the view that has got our create, our delete, our details, and our edit. If I go to create. Nope. Oh, actually, you know what? I don't have to do that in here because this is actually still leveraging our layout model. So let me close a lot of these and go to Account, Home, Products, Shared. And under Shared, we have our Layout module. And in our Layout module, you can see the jQuery 1.4.4 is already pulled in by default. Okay, I didn't have to do anything special for that one. And we've got a little cascading style sheet there. And what we're going to do is pull in the validate and validate.unobtrusive. Okay? So now all of a sudden, if I go back to that products page, create a new one, and we're going to say here, pastry. We'll just do a pasty. And now I do 10, Ted. Notice that as soon as I tabbed off of that, that came up. And as soon as I change this back Now all of a sudden we have this client-side validation here right in the page, but you don't see a lot of jQuery crud in here. Instead, what it's doing is it's using that great data templating library and the unobtrusive jQuery syntax to quickly and simply do my client-side validation without me having to think about it or do anything else. Is that cool? All right. Getting some nods in the head for those on the phone or on the camera here. All right. So now we have our view and our model and our controller all very quickly and easily scaffolded, very quickly and easily leveraging a lot of great open source packages such as jQuery, such as Ninject and Mock. We can leverage those right here within Visual Studio. Personally, I get very excited about all of that. So, ASP.NET MVC 3 and all of the other stuff that you've seen today, you know, MVC 3, Windows Server, SQL Server, Compact Edition, NuGet. We didn't talk too much about Orchard. Orchard is a great new content management system put out by Outer Curve. All that is available today from Microsoft.com/web. Looking forward to you downloading your flavor of web development from Microsoft.com/web.